complete it all tonight if you want to go.
They didn't. Okay, so the final, this obviously, as the Elam sees, we can keep on going in this parak. But we'll have to come to a conclusion. So the last piece that we didn't get back to yet was the Indian of Shlomo HaMelech davening for the Goyim. So we discussed about davening for Yenis Ruchnius and Bechira and all of that. The last piece we're going to talk about now is Shlomo HaMelech davening for the Goyim. And the fact that the tefillah was different, Rashi brings down that he davened differently for the Goyim than he did for the Yidden. For the Yidden, he said that the Baruch Shem should do what he holds he should do for the Jew. By the Goy, he said, you'll do Kako Asher. Everything the Goy asks for, Hashem should answer his tefillah. So it sounded like he's giving more to the Goyim than he's giving to the Yidden. So Rashi seems to be bothered by this. Rashi tells us that the Goy, if Hashem doesn't do for the Goy what he's supposed, what the Goy is asking for, he'll be Koyretago. He'll talk negatively, he'll deny HaKadosh Baruch. The Jew accepts it's the right thing. He accepts it. Because of that, Hashem doesn't have to go and answer everything that the Jew asks for the way they ask for it. So L'chor comes out of Pella. B'shvil shani tzadik, ani mafsid. Right? The Goy, because he's on edge. So now, he gets whatever he asks for. And the Jew, because he's a good guy, and he accepts it, so you give him less. They just did recently a whole psychology report on parenting. And they came with the conclusion that there are many parents that make a major mistake in parenting. And that's the reward system. If you have a kid that generally doesn't study and generally doesn't put any effort in, he doesn't care about school, and then he gets an 80, you make a mishberach. Right? And Kavaldik got an 80. Did something. He must have done something. Then you have that kid. He's a straight A. Comes in with his A. He goes, Shkoyach. Yeah. Why not an A plus? Well, it was murder. I tried. Okay. Fine. We'll accept you with your A. And they found that a lot of people, they're constantly rewarding their non-producing children. Because they appreciate when they get some productivity. But the kid who's always producing, Nebuch, he's under the carpet. See, I was a big Heverman when I was a little kid. So when I had a good day in school, I got major rewards. Not like Binyamin, who's always excellent. I was a Heverman, Binyamin. So when I came home and the Rebbe said I was behaved that day, it was a Yom Tov. My sisters, Nebuch, were always good in school. My parents had a balance. They knew how to do it. But it's not so pushy. But from Rashi is mashma that Shlomo HaMelech is saying that the Goyim, because they're Koyret Agar, they get more reward. They get more schar. So there's two things we have to understand, and then we'll put everything together. One thing we have to understand is that what's gishmak for the moment is not necessarily what's good. Okay, that's number one. And this is something, unfortunately, most people don't understand, right? We only have a very little understanding in it. When you're a little kid, what do you understand? Only the moment, right? Little kid, take a toddler, right? He wants his candy, he wants whatever he wants. If he doesn't get instant gratification, it doesn't work. Imagine you call the baby over, he wants his rattle, he's crying, he wants his rattle. You call him over, he says, listen, tattle. In an hour, I'll give it to you. He doesn't understand an hour. goes crazy, screams his head off, the whole house will fall down, right? A baby wakes up in the middle of the night, they're hungry. You ever heard babies in the middle of the night? Sounds like the house is burning down. Sugar. Okay, so I understand. You want to, we just fed you 2 hours ago. Okay? Maybe you wait 10 minutes. Can't talk 10 minutes. They don't stand 10 minutes. I want now. You tell 10 minutes like saying 10 years. They don't understand it. Right? That's a baby. The truth is, everybody's a shtickle baby. You get older. Understand. You talk, understand. Right? You get older, you understand. Child wants it. The guy wants, he wants an iPod. It's already mature. He understands it. He wants an iPod. iPod's not very important. I want an iPod. Tell the kid, listen, can't get an iPod now. They're running a special sale. In 2 weeks, I'm going to get you the iPod. The mom is the latest one, the 72SB4. Don't worry, but I mean, you're not missing it. They didn't make it yet. That in 2 weeks, you can get it. They're running a special. Good. So a guy's an adult, a mature adult. He's like, 2 weeks, it's worth it. I'm waiting 2 weeks to get my latest gadget that I'm waiting for that I want. Because you have the maturity to understand. 2 weeks, it's worth it. They tell you, if you want Nebuch the 5S, which is a big b'dievet, right? The 5S is almost embarrassing to even say you have one. So that you can get right now. I says, forget it. I don't want the 5S now. It's a mavaza myself before S yet. I'll wait 2 weeks and I'll get the latest, the best. Givaldi. Forget the 4S. The 4S is, push a guy should go to Tamcha Shabbat. It's 4S. And Nebuch, me, I yarsh in the 4. The 4 is Kupas Ezra. I'm ready, I could eat from the Kupa. Nebuch. But a person, the older you get, the more you could. Okay, it's worth it 2 weeks, right? But what happens if I tell you, you know what? Not 2 weeks, 2 months. Okay, so also, it depends on how mature you are. Huh? So bizarre. A guy reaches his 16th birthday, says, want a car? Got his license, he wants his car. Okay. You want a car? I can get you a car right now if you want. I'll get you a Toyota Prius. Rabbi Brody is finally getting rid of it. So you'll yash in it. Brody's Prius. It's also still going to be designed to drive with such a car. Okay, but it's the Scan's car. Maybe it gives it a chshivas. I'll tell you, you know what? If you wait 6 months, I'll get you a Lexus SC. A person's a mature guy, says, you know what? What, I don't want to drive around with a priest for 6 months. As if he had Nebuch. 6 months. I'll wait 6 months and I'll get a Lexus SC. I'll be chosh of a meisen. That's good. You know what? Wait 12 months and I'll get you an XJS Jaguar 12-cylinder Mahadram and a Mahadram. I see the Maritz is getting excited. Convertible. Because he's mocked, but it should be under the Shemayim, I'll see the Shemayim and everything. The more mature a person is, the more they can, the time starts expanding because they have a bigger view. Oh, I'm willing to wait. Such a thing, I'm willing to wait. I'll wait. Wait 12 months for that. Yeah. That's the metzius of people. And as you get older, unfortunately, Olam Haba is too far away for most people, so that they don't think so far ahead. If everybody was able to be global enough and not think short term, we would all look very different. What about Olam Haba? Olam Haba, that's ready. I'm talking about this world, right? So really, we're all a bunch of babies. The baby grabber could think for 5 minutes or less. The guy's a little old, he can think for 6 months. The other guy gets a little more mature. But we're all in our infancy stages because we can't look at Olam Haba. It's a bigger picture. When a person gets a clap in this world, when they get a punishment in this world, so most people think, oh, that hurt. Every little thing that happens to you, you think that hurt. You fell down, that hurt. You got a flat tire, that hurt. Car accident, that hurt. Hurts. Hurts your father. That hurt. These are all little things, right? All little things. In the bigger picture, every time something happens to you, it's machapa. Okay? One lashon hara, okay, if you get punished in the next world, is more painful than all the tzaras of this world. One piece of lashon. So imagine if you find out later that that flat tire Hashem gave you as a kapara for your lashon hara. That's great. Thanks a million. Thanks a million for the flat. Right? You don't look at it that way. People say, it's a kapara, but they don't mean it. If the Kotzke used to say that if a person would know what a Yisurim, what a Tsar does for you, right, you would run in the streets looking for it. Give me some Tsar a little bit. If you get a headache, shucks, give me an Advil, give me, doesn't worry, in 5 minutes, doesn't give me something, give me Motrin, you take enough things till you just fall, whatever. People can't deal with anything today. Remember when I was growing up, some people used to take Novocaine, you know, when the dentist would drill your tooth. And some people didn't take Novocaine. And I had a kid in my class, his father had his tooth pulled without Novocaine. Not very geschmack. Yeah. Then they came up with Novocaine. Then they had people get extra. Now they have a numbing for the Novocaine. Because people don't even want to have that pinch for a second. So you get something before that, so that soon they're going to put you to sleep for the Novocaine. So you don't feel nothing, right? People don't chop. Every time something happens to you, there's a cheshbon. It's not a heftevelt. Something happens to a person, there's a reason. Hashem has a reason. And you're getting a kapara. And if you be able to look at it, a big picture, you go, Baruch Hashem, I got the kapara. The guy has a problem. He has a growth. He has a heart condition. He has a brain tumor. And he goes through something and they cure him. He's not upset that the doctor for giving him a shot before to put him to sleep to fix his heart. He gives the doctor, big yashkech. Shucks, I got that pinch. Right? The guy went into surgery. He had a brain tumor, right? He was dying. He was going to die in 2 weeks. Yeah? So the surgeon gave him a shot. Then put him to sleep and then took out the tumor. When he wakes up, does he look at the surgeon and say, what a maneuver you are, that pinch. He says, thank you. Thank you for the pinch. So if we would be able to see the full picture of what Hashem is doing, we would thank Hashem for every little nuance that happens. When it says, Kashem Shemavorchem ala Toiv, Kach Mavorchem ala Ra, that's a real thing. That's not fake. That's, if we would really understand, then we would chap. We would chap. Shlomo HaMelech said very simple. For the Jew, the biggest bracha I could give him is Hashem should do the right thing for him. Okay? The guy has a headache now and he's getting a kapora for who knows what. So what's good for him is not that the headache should go away. He should get this kapora. So Shlomo HaMelech didn't daven for Klal Yisrael. Hashem, just do whatever they ask for. Because the guy may not be asking for the right thing. Why should he? You could daven that the guy should do tshuva so he shouldn't have to need a kapora. But if a guy needs a kapara, the kapara is the best thing for him. He owes the Baruch Shem Yashar Koach for the kapara. That's the bottom line. For the goyim, Shlomo HaMelech wasn't davening for their benefit. For their benefit, it's not whatever they asked they should get. He was davening there should be a covered shemayim. And that's why he said, Hashem, whatever they asked for, let them have a positive outcome of covered shemayim. He really wasn't davening for the Goyim. He was davening for the Bnei Shlomo. He was davening that a Kavod Shemayim should come out. That's all Shlomo HaMelech cared about. Similar to what I said, one of the most amazing stories I heard about Rav Eliashiv Zatzal is that he was once walking down the street. He was a bit younger, in his younger days. And it was one of these major areas downtown, and there was a woman's, like a woman's lib protest, woman's rights. And the story goes, I don't know the authenticity of the story, somebody told me it's written in his son-in-law's sefer. So there were different speakers that were going to get up to speak about the woman, you know, the anti-Haredi and women's pro-woman. And the story goes that he asked the person there if he could say a couple of words. He got up and he said, Haredim, pro-woman? He said, there is no more pro-woman than the Torah HaKadosh. He said, who's the holiest person in Klal Yisrael? Kohen Gadol. Right? Where does he go on the holiest day of the year? To the holiest place, the Kodesh Kadosh. What does he do for? He's due over there to atone for the Averis of the holiest nation, Klal Yisrael. So the holiest man on the holiest place, in the holiest location, doing the holiest thing. There's only one thing that's Makkah, if you all want Maseches Yumen. Kohn, what is it? Oh! Kohn knows. That's even Shisu Valley. Tachanam, I wouldn't have been surprised. Because they chazer over Yumen. Oh no, without a wife! Without a wife, what's the halacha? Can't be mechaper. Without a wife, you can't be mechaper. You remember that the Maritz? V'chiper bado yuvar beisei. Dembi, you remember that? So what do you see? The holiest man in the Kodesh Kedoshim, call yourself, can't do anything without a wife. That's how you see how much the Torah is machshiv. So when I heard the story, I was spoiled. The Rav Eliashiv was the one that said it. Because you know Rav Eliashiv is very shy. Never made noise, Rav Eliashiv. Even when you went to events, Rav Eliashiv was there. Very rarely did he speak. If he spoke, he said a couple of words. So the person who said over the story said that Rav Eliashiv said, how did the story happen? He said, Rav Eliashiv said, Kol Yomai, my whole life, like Rabbi Kiva said, I daven, I should be able to make a Kovet Shemayim. Every day I wake up, I say, Shemayim, I hope I could make a Kovet Shemayim. Here Hashem put me walking down a street that minute when they were talking negatively about how the Torah treats women. I had to get up to say it. Because that's what possessed Rav Eliashiv, Kovet Shemayim. So even though it went against his nature to do anything like that, that's what he did. I said, that's pshat by Moshe Rabbeinu also. This week's parsha, very shver. Moshe Rabbeinu stops by the sneh, right? Stops by the bush. So you know the famous Chazal. So Hashem reveals himself to Moshe. He says, Amma. That's when Hashem tells Moshe to take Klal Yisrael out. Right? Did ever bother any of you? Why was Moshe the only one? So Chazal tells us he was the only one that stopped. The bush was burning the whole time. The bush here was burning the whole time. From when Klal Yisrael went into Golos, the bush was burning. Moshe is the first one to stop to say, why is this bush burning? Did it bother anybody here? Why nobody else stopped? Nobody else stopped. All the hikers that went by here, nobody stopped and took a picture. This is the burning bush, the everlasting burning bush. You go on a hike, they have so many stupid markers. This stone, you have a bush that's burning for years and years and years. Nobody stopped and went, what's going on with this bush? Moshe Rabbeinu is the first one to stop. What's going on? Bloom! Vazokste! Tzadik HaTomo Yifroch. It's blooming. No talents? Moshe, you have something to say? Moshe is the first one to stop by the... There's a bush that's burning the whole time. Nobody stops and says, what's with the bush? Does anybody have a pshali? You guys never learned Parsha Shmois? Simcha v'zokste. You don't look besimcha. Huh? And now you look a little better. Huh? Never bothered you this question? Chazal tell us, Moshe was the first one to ask the kasha. Nu, Yeshua v'zokste. No tents. Moshe is the first one. Nobody asked the kasha about the bush. If you passed the bush that was burning like that, just burning and burning, you wouldn't ask the kasha. Maritz? You would. No. What's up, Shatnam? Chosn, you have something to say? Mamish a pillow. Mamish Marafi Sigur. We're asking, why was Moshe the first one to ask the kasha about the snare? Snare is burning like that, nobody asked the kasha? Fogel Vazokste, you're the guest speaker. The guest speaker for the event, Hotnish Vasav Avada Hosvasazon. No? You don't find it strange? Imagine Rabbi Brody hiking with the Olam. Passed by a burning bush. The Olam says, what's with this? Rabbi Brody says, hey, this can cash by the guy. Nobody has a pshat? Tovi, you have pshat? Why Moshe was the first one to ask the cash? Nobody's bothered with a burning bush? Tayar Hashem, Kisor Lirois Hashem revealed himself to Moshe. Nobody else? Chazal say Moshe was the first one. Because Moshe asked everybody, he was Zeicher. What, everybody else just walked by a burning bush? Big deal, it's burning. You know, that's the episode. I can't believe nobody has anything. I don't believe it. This is as big of a pella as Milchiks and a Fleishik Asink. They're both pleased. You have to stop by both of them. The sink we took care of, but now we got the bush problem. Okay, it's going to have to wait till next week. Same.